Six universities in China have jumped into the top 10 rankings of world unis in terms of scientific impact. And it happened without those institutions changing what they do. What changed was the method used to rank universities by the new open edition of the CWTS Leiden ranking. And the key word there is open. The new ranking system works exclusively with open data and open source algorithms, unlike the better known uni ranking systems like the Times Higher Education World University Rankings, the Shanghai and the QS, all of which rely heavily on proprietary data. But does that proprietary data maintain the quality and integrity of rankings or create an academic closed shop that's structurally biased against research produced in non-Western countries and not in the English language? It's an intriguing, complex question that's addressed in a recent Conversation article by Caroline S. Wagner, who's a professor at the John Glenn College of Public Affairs at Ohio State University, which, I note, came in 99th in the Times Higher Education 2024 rankings, but ranks 31st in the open edition of the Leiden rankings for scientific impact. Caroline, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you. And thank you so much for inviting me to talk about this very interesting topic.
It is very interesting. You described this new open approach as a radical shift in the data underlying rankings and observe that it operates largely in favor of China's position. Why is that?
Well, Chinese scientists produce a great deal of scientific product that we tend to count mostly as articles. And then citations to those articles are also counted. And these are ways that those who conduct rankings will credit a university with knowledge creation and prestige and esteem from the work that they do to produce new knowledge.
Yes, and so a lot comes down to what are the systems for bibliographic referencing and whether there are sort of structural biases in those rankings. Before we sort of address that question, what is actually included in these new Leiden open rankings that's not in the proprietary rankings?
So right now, most of the famous rankings like Shanghai ranking or Times Higher Ed, even Nature ranking to some extent, they use bibliographic data that's highly curated by companies that sell those products. Mostly the most famous of the products is called the Web of Science, and it only has about 9,000 total journals in it when there's millions of journals produced all around the world all the time. Most of those journals don't get into the Web of Science ranking. Web of Science selects journals that they judge to be of high quality, to be peer-reviewed, to have an editorial board of noted experts, and so on. And then those journals tend to be the more elite journals, ones that perhaps people have even heard of. And in different areas of science, those journals carry a very big weight, are called impact factors, that distinguish them as highly elite journals where people seek to publish. So right now, the most famous rankings use those highly curated data sets. And so as a result, they're not counting just huge numbers of journals and articles that aren't included in the Web of Science. Recently, European governments have said that they really want everyone to publish in what's called open access journals. What has happened is that the open access movement has created lots and lots of open access journals. Some of them are good quality, and they still use peer review and good editorial practices, but many, many, many of them are not. Good journals are ones that practice what are considered the norms of scholarly research. As a result, people who are really, some of them are just coming new into the field, let's say in China, where they have lots and lots of very young universities and young researchers who need to publish. Many times they don't even know the difference between one type of journal and another, and sometimes get caught up in what's called predatory journals. That is ones that will take pay, and then they don't do peer review and they don't edit. They just put the journal article up on the internet.
there's sort of tension there, isn't there, between opening up the system a little, but then the danger associated with that of potentially infecting the sources that go into the rankings. Could you explain a little bit for us what paper mills and citation stacking are, and tell us if you think the use of open data sources makes the open rankings vulnerable to those things?
Yes. So paper mills are companies that use nefarious means to perhaps plagiarize or put together scam articles and or solicit those articles from sometimes innocent people who offer their paper to what's called a predatory journal. I'm sure people are aware, you know, that even high schoolers can type up on the internet and ask to buy a paper. So then a lot of times these paper mill papers then will go to these open access journals, some of which are predatory journals, seeking to just take an article and charge the person who is seeking to publish. And they'll put that paper in their quote unquote journal online, which, and it's really not, you know, a respected or credible site. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing that is sometimes done and sometimes practiced is purposeful citation stacking. That is where someone publishes an article and then asks their friends, perhaps in their own university or in other regional universities, to please cite their work. A lot of times these articles that are noted and rise up the rankings do so because they're cited by other researchers. That's what's called citation stacking, where people will just add citations in and references and journal articles in order to bolster the reputation of their friend.
I see. On RN, we are speaking with Professor Caroline Wagner from Ohio State University about a significant change in the data underlying university rankings. Caroline, when you take a step back from the two systems, the open approach versus the more proprietary approach, and factoring in those concerns that you've identified about some less than ideal practices, what's your sense about this new open edition of the CWTS Leiden ranking? Do you think it is a more reliable indicator of scientific impact than the proprietary systems?
It would be hard to say reliable or unreliable. It reflects a kind of data. So the data that it's drawing from includes lots and lots of what we might call lower quality work that is quote unquote published. Some of it's published in perfectly respectable journals that just aren't indexed in the Web of Science or the other databases called Scopus, another respected journal database. But the other thing that's in the open data is oftentimes journals in what people tend to call the Global South, which doesn't really make a lot of sense, but it is what I would call mezzanine countries. That is, countries that do good science, but because of the language barrier or because people don't really know how to work their way into these more elite journals, they'll publish locally or they'll publish, you know, in their own language in their own country. So that would include, you know, Mexico, Malaysia, Indonesia, countries like this that they do good science. And a lot of times the work they're doing has more local application and so therefore wouldn't appear in like Science Magazine or Nature anyway, right? Because it's about like local trout streams or water quality, things like that. So as a result, some of the work that is being included now in OpenAlex, what's called OpenAlex, one of the open databases that collects up thousands of journals, some of it is really quality work that's worth paying attention to and is from these countries and in foreign languages. So as a result, some of this is a really good thing. You know, many of these authors and scholars are doing good work and it's worth attention. That part is a good thing. The other problem is that in the process of kind of opening that door and sweeping in lots and lots of other journals, you're also sweeping in the work in predatory journals or from paper mills or that rise up ranking-wise in citations because of a little bit of gaming of the system.
Scientific capability and scientific impact is one of the things that's measured in these rankings. You've written that scientific capability is intricately tied to both military and economic power. So how do you expect the big US and European universities and their governments to respond to the dramatic rise of Chinese institutions in these new open rankings?
Well, some universities do better in the Leiden rankings, so they may like that. Of course, as you mentioned, Ohio, even my own university, Ohio State, but I noticed that University of Melbourne, University of Sydney are now in the top 30 in the CWTS rankings, where they don't show up in the Shanghai rankings. So, you know, I think for some universities, it's going to be a good thing. One of the concerns I have is that in the United States right now, there's a sense that China has borrowed and stolen some of the Western knowledge and taken it back to use sometimes for military purposes that are strengthening their military and defense capabilities. That is part of the reason I wrote the article, because my sense is that this shift, where we see many more Chinese universities in the top rankings, will cause a great deal of consternation in the United States around the security issue.
Yes, but as far as I can tell, your research into the sort of product that's coming out of Chinese universities suggests that the picture is certainly more complex than that, and really quite interesting in terms of what's being produced out of Chinese institutions.
It is indeed. There are expectations we would have had that China would only be copying the United States or Europe, let's say, or the leading edges of science, and just not being able to really and truly innovate or to do novel work. But that is just not the case, at least not in terms of the indicators. The indicators suggest that they're doing novel work, that they're doing leading edge work, and that in some of these critical technologies, taking the lead, at least, again, in terms of citations to their work. So all of these are indicators, not necessarily studies on the ground of what's actually happening. But there is certainly a cause for concern on one level. On the other level, though, I think that I wanted people to understand the shift in the rankings is mostly due to a change in methodology rather than a change in quality. It doesn't mean that the Chinese researchers aren't doing good quality work, because clearly they are. But this shift in the rankings that looks so shocking, really, to see these Chinese universities in the top ranks is really just a question of how it's counted.
Yes, there's certainly a lot of interesting things going on behind these statistics, and it's probably worth noting that the Leiden ranking publishers said that they found overall a pretty strong correlation between the values that they found when they use the open system and when they use their own proprietary system. It's fascinating stuff. Caroline Wagner, thank you so much for joining us on RN.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate the chance to talk about this.
Caroline Wagner is professor at the John Glenn College of Public Affairs at Ohio State University, and her article about the radical shift in the data underlying uni rankings is published in The Conversation. You can also see those new open rankings at the website open.leidenranking.com.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.